Today, when hype and reality collide. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and problem news. This is our weekly market update. Here is the big question. Are US stocks poised to continue their dramatic run, or is a pause ahead? That's the question investors are asking as the S&P 500 heads into the close of the year with fresh highs possibly coming into view. A softer tone to US economic data this week fueled rate cut bets, pushing Treasury yields down and lifting equity markets. For the week, the S&P 500 added 2.2%, while the NASDAQ composite rose 2.4% and the Dow climbed 1.9%. This extended a rally that has seen the S&P 500 gain over 9% since late October. The index is now up nearly 18% for the year and less than 2% away from its year-end high reached back in July. Its record closing level from January 2022 is just 6% away. Whether it can reach those levels in coming weeks depends in part on how convinced investors are that the US economy is on track for a so-called soft landing, where the Fed brings down the inflation without badly damaging growth. So far, the economy has proved resilient in the face of tighter monetary policy, though some measures of employment and consumer demand have softened. Figures this week showed an unexpected decline in wholesale prices in October, while growth in consumer prices was slower than anticipated last month. The numbers fueled hopes that the elevated interest rates are working to bring inflation back down to the Fed's stated 2% target. Oil prices, a key portion of headline price growth, also eased for the fourth straight week. While world stocks steadied near two-month peaks on Friday, Treasury yields briefly touched two-month lows as investors held fast to the belief that the US interest rates have peaked and might even fall next year. But a reality check came when Federal Reserve Bank of Boston President Susan Collins said on Friday that while evidence is growing that inflation is easing, she was not yet ready to rule out more rate hikes should they be needed. The all-important Fed funds rate currently stands at a range of 5.25 to 5.5%, following an unprecedented tightening cycle aimed at quelling elevated inflation. Now, that put a damper on Wall Street, so the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the NASDAQ Composite finished flat, and the S&P 500 was up just 0.13%. Despite sluggishness on Wall Street, MSCI's gauge of stocks around the globe added 0.34%, helped in part by European shares that rallied 1%. November has so far seen one of the strongest performances for stock markets this year, with the MSCI's World Stock Index and the S&P 500 Index both up more than 7%. We're still in this environment where we are late cycle and flirting with the idea of whether we go into recession or not, said the chief investment officer at investment firm St. James's Place. This is the key reason why central bank expectations have become a key driver to risk, and right now it's hard to look beyond the near term. In line with US rate expectations, the dollar index fell 0.48% and was on track for one of its steepest weekly declines this year. A falling dollar helped the yen to strengthen sharply to trade below 150 per dollar. Leading global investors expect inflation and interest rates to remain high well into next year, though, and are bracing for more volatile share markets where easier returns will be hard to find. Top fund managers, company founders, and superannuation funds told the Son Hearts and Minds event at the Sydney Opera House on Friday that they were looking beyond big names, overpriced Wall Street stocks that would struggle to deliver growth. Instead, investors willing to gamble on unloved and unpopular stocks would do best, they said. Many investors warn there is a huge insolvency risk lurking in private markets, though. The big difference between now and the last 4 years is that there is a very wide range of outcomes, and that itself creates a volatility, said Atul Lilly, head of iconic hedge fund Bridgewater. Lilly said cash, which was paying about 5% to savers in the United States and about 4.5% in Australia, looked really attractive right now. This means that there was a higher bar for investors to beat in the share market. The risk premium available to investors right now in equities from a global perspective, and especially so in the US, is very narrow, he said. The steep decline in US Treasury yields since the start of November continued on Friday, with the benchmark 10-year note yield briefly falling to a two-month low. Later, the yield on the benchmark 10-year note was little changed at about 4.438, and the two-year note was last at 4.894. The gap widened between yields on the 2- and the 10-year Treasury note, an indicator of expectations the economy is slowing. The curve inversion was around 46 basis points down on Friday, compared with minus 38 basis points the day before, and remains near its deepest point since early October. Rate-sensitive 2-year bond yields in Germany and also in Britain fell to the lowest level since June, with money markets now pricing in roughly 100 basis points worth of rate cuts in the US and the euro area. And gold was largely unchanged at around $1,983 an ounce. Seasonality is also in stocks' favour. November and December have posted the year's second and third biggest monthly returns since 1950, rising 1.5 and 1.4% on average, according to the Stock Traders Almanac. Equities do, though, face a number of tests next week. Chip heavyweight Nvidia reports quarterly earnings on Tuesday, the last report this earnings season from the so-called Magnificent Seven mega-cap companies, whose massive share price gains have led equity indices this year. The health of the consumer-driven economy comes into view also on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, which is the traditional start of the US holiday shopping. Data on Wednesday showed US retail sales fell for the first time in 7 months on October. One source of worry has been a renewed climb in stocks valuations. The S&P 500 trades 18.7 times forward 12-month earnings estimates, a roughly two-month high and well above its long-term average of 15.6, according to Datastream. But, of course, the truth is the Magnificent Seven are doing most of the heavy lifting and many other stocks are languishing. Jason Pride, Chief of Investment Strategy and Research at Glenmead, said his firm is underweight equities and has larger than normal allocations to cash and short-term fixed income. Rates are still high enough, financial conditions are still tight enough that the near-term horizon is troubling and probably doesn't justify the high level of valuations, he said. The recent surge in stock means that the bar for positive surprises is also higher, according to Keith Lerner, co-chief investment officer of Truist Advisory Services, who recommends adding to equity positions on pullbacks. It would be perfectly normal for stocks to take a breather here, he said. Adding pressures, shares of Applied Materials fell 4% after its third quarter report and news the US Justice Department is investigating allegations that semiconductor equipment maker violated export curbs to China. Energy finished up 2.1%, and that was the biggest percentage gainer among the 11 major S&P sectors, as oil prices settled up more than 4% on Friday. The Communication Services Index was the biggest percentage loser, as heavyweight Alphabet, Google, fell more than 1%. And technology, the second weakest sector, was dragged down by Microsoft, which fell 1.7%. ChatGPT maker OpenAI, which is backed by Microsoft, said on Friday that its chief executive officer would leave after the board said he was not, quote, consistently candid in his communications, whatever that means. Countering its mega-cap peers, Amazon gained 1.6%. The online retailer announced that it was trimming jobs at its Alexa voice assistant unit, citing shifting business priorities and a greater focus on generative artificial intelligence. The small cap Russell 2000 index rallied 1.4% on the day, outperforming broader markets, and the index, whose members benefited more than the larger cap companies from easing of lending rates, also outperformed for the week, adding 5.4%. Retail stocks were in demand, with Ross Stores rallying 7.2%. The company, which sells off-price clothing and home products, raised its annual earnings forecast after topping third quarter sales and profit expectations. And also Gap shares surged 30.6% as the apparel retailer posted better than expected third quarter results due to improving sales at Old Navy and easing supply expenses. ChargePoint Holdings shares, though, slumped 35.5% as the electric vehicle charging network provider lowered estimates for third quarter revenue. It also named Rick Wilmer CEO. oil prices jumped more than 4% on Friday, rebounding from a four-month low hit in the previous session, as investors who'd taken short positions took profits, and while US sanctions on some Russian oil shippers lent support. Brent crude futures settled up 4.1% at $80.60 a barrel, while West Texas Intermediate rose 4.1% to $75.86. We're getting a natural profit-taking rebound and short covering to a degree, said John Cudliff, partner at Again Capital LLC in New York. Some of the losses were offset after the US imposed sanctions this week on maritime companies and vessels for shipping Russian oil sold above the Group of Seven's price cap. Still, both benchmarks ended the week more than 1% lower. That's their fourth straight weekly decline, mostly weighed down by a rise in US crude inventories and sustained record high production. Some analysts said on Thursday that the sharp sell-off there had been overdone, particularly in light of escalating tensions in the Middle East that could disrupt oil supplies and the US vowing to enforce sanctions against Hamas-backed Iran. The FTSE 100 index in London closed notably higher on Friday, with NatWest standing out after Barclays upgraded the bank to overweight. The positive adjustment is due to NatWest's effective management of deposit migration and funding risks, which is expected to result in increased net interest margins and profits. The uptick in the FTSE 100 was supported by several key performers. Mining companies like Anglo American and Fresno were among the top gainers, with respective rises of 3.65 and 3.2%. Insurer Prudential and banks like Standard Chartered also contributed to the rise, climbing by over 3%, and other notable gains include Glencore and Hargreaves Lansdown. In contrast to this upward trend, retailers Marks and Spencer's saw their shares decline following unexpected drop in October's retail sales, as reported by the Office for National Statistics, which again went against earlier predictions of an increase. The broader European equity markets also ended the day with significant gains amid expectations that central bank interest rates may remain steady or even reduce next year. Across Europe, the Stoxx 600 rose 1.01%, Germany's DAX advanced by 0.84%, France's CAC 40 grew by 0.91%. Despite these gains, Volvo Cars faced a significant drop of 11% after its shareholder Geely initiated a discount share sale, while Alstom stocks decreased by 1.7%. Meanwhile, inflation in the Eurozone appears to be thawing. On Friday, the EU Statistical Office confirmed annual inflation slowed sharply to 2.9% by Eurostat, marking the lowest point in over 2 years and suggesting that easing inflationary pressures were in fact coming through. The euro area current account surplus held steady at around 31 billion euros, despite a reduction in goods trade surpluses for September. The currency market showed the euro gaining slightly against the dollar, although remaining relatively unchanged on the day. In Asia, sentiment was supported by the apparent easing of US-China tensions, with the Chinese press lauding the meeting between President Xi Jinping and President Joe Biden. But Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index was by far the worst performer on Friday, down 1.9%, with heavy losses in locally listed Chinese tech stocks. Alibaba Group slid 10% to a one-year low, and that was the biggest decliner on the index after the e-commerce giant scrapped the planned spinning out and listing of its cloud unit. The firm cited uncertainties over the supply of chips needed for artificial intelligence development after the US recently tightened its chip export ban against China to cover AI-related materials. Alibaba's move highlighted a similar issue for other Chinese firms, as they now face the challenge of developing AI without the cutting-edge technology provided by US firms such as Nvidia. Baidu and Tencent Holdings sank 5.4% and 1.7% respectively, and Tencent also had warned of similar difficulties as Alibaba earlier in the week. Losses in domestic tech stocks saw China's Shanghai Composite Index falling 0.3%. High-level talks between US and Chinese leaders provided little support for markets there. While the countries agreed to reopen military communications, US President Joe Biden referred to his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping as a dictator, somewhat putting a dampener on sentiment over their meeting. And weakness in China tech spilled over into other markets, with South Korea's KOSPI down 0.7%. In contrast, Japan's Nikkei 225 index bucked the trend with an increase of 0.46%, ending the day at 33,579, as Bank of Japan Governor Kazuda Ide stressed the need for ultra-loose policy, especially after data earlier in the week showed that Japan's economy shrank more than expected in the third quarter. But despite the weak economic signals, the Nikkei added 2.7% this week. That's the third straight week in the black. Within the Nikkei index, Panasonic Holdings saw its shares soar by 5.5%, followed closely by construction company Kajima and Japan Post Holdings, both of which rose by around 3.6%. On the losing end of the Nikkei, though, were the Asahi Group Holdings, with a share drop of 4%, and Sumitomo Reality and Development, along with Shadezo, which saw their shares decrease by 3.5% and 2.2% respectively. Now, in Australia, Australian shares struggled to make any headway on Friday, tracking a subdued Wall Street session, with energy stocks weighing heavily after oil prices tumbled by about more than 4% over worries about US and Chinese demand. The benchmark ASX 200 inched 0.1% lower to 7,049 at the close, with 7 of the 11 sectors in the red. The All Ords also slid 0.1%. Yet, the main benchmark ended the week 1% higher. So far this month, it's jumped 4%, and if sustained, it would be the best month since January, when it leapt more than 6%. Over the year, though, the index is back to where it started. Energy led losses, down 1.6% after oil prices dropped to their lowest in 4 months overnight. And of course, they didn't get the Friday bounce yet, as investors worried about global oil demand following weak economic reports from the US and Asia. Woodside shares skidded 2.3% to $31.40. Origin fell 1.6% to $8.60. And Santos shed 1% to $6.99. But mining led the gains, tracking stronger to prices for iron ore amid signs of a recovery in China steel demand. Singapore iron ore futures were up for the fifth consecutive week. Rio Tinto rose 0.4% to $125.62. BHP gained 0.1% to $46.61. And Fortescue edged up 0.1% to $25.22. Gold producers, including Northern Star and Evolution Mining, joined the rally as the precious metal price climbed to $1,986 an ounce, amid prospects that the Federal Reserve has finished raising interest rates. Signs of slowing US inflation bolstered bets among investors that the central bank will keep the cash rate on hold in December and possibly start easing in the first half of 2024. Well, we'll see about that. Gold continued to march towards $2,000 an ounce as investors reassess the strength in the US, said Daniel Hines, a commodity strategist at ANZ. The precious metal is sensitive to interest rates because holding gold does not pay a yield. The major banks fell, with Westpac down 0.2% to 21.10. NAB nudged 0.1% lower to 27.73, and ANZ retreated 0.5% to 24.07. CBA was up just a tad. Shares in uranium play NextGen Energy shot up 4.8% to $9.96 after fund manager Jeremy Bond at Terra Capital made it a top pick at the annual Hearts and Minds conference in Sydney. He said NextGen was poised to become one of the world's top 10 mining stocks. Well, we'll see about that. Telex Pharmaceuticals was another stock that benefited from the conference. Its shares were catapulted 4.2% higher to $9.39 after Ricky Bannon of IFM Investors picked the cancer diagnostics and treatment company, saying it was significantly undervalued. And sleep disorder and breathing devices company ResMed was not so lucky. It slumped 1.2% to $23.05, despite Chris Curtis at Ellison Capital pitching the company at the conference. In corporate news, Virgin Australia and Air New Zealand asked competition authorities to approve a tie-up on Trans-Tasman routes. Air New Zealand shares shed 0.8% to 61.5 cents, and shares in embattled rival Qantas declined 1.7% to $5.24. Elsewhere, tech company Nuix dived 7.2% to $1.49 after revealing its federal court hearing would kick off on November the 20th, ASIC is suing the company for breaching disclosure rules back in 2021. And Steadfast Group dropped 1.3% to $5.23 following the completion of a $280 million institutional placement at $5.14 a share. Now, Australia's headline inflation is the highest among the world's largest advanced economies, prompting economists to warn the Reserve Bank may need to deliver further interest rate rises to quash persistent price pressures. The Australian Consumer Price Index increased 5.4% in the year to September 30th, topping the list of headline inflation rates in the world's 15 largest advanced economies, according to analysis by the AFR. The figures highlight the distinctive nature of Australia's inflation outbreak, which started and peaked months after many other advanced economies, meaning price pressures have persisted well into 2023. Sean Lancake, head of macroeconomic forecasting for Vox Economics, said there was no single story explaining Australia's higher inflation rate. While timing played a role in explaining why inflation was lower in Canada and the US, he said Australia seemed to have stronger underlying price pressures. The thing that stands out is just the strength of our core CPI. I think we might be a little bit different on the breadth of inflation, he said. Australia's underlying inflation, which strips out volatile price movements, was 5.2% in the 12 months to September the 30th, exceeded only by Belgium and United Kingdom. Now, of course, the bottom line here is the RBA has been too slow to lift rates because they're worried about the impact on those mortgage holders and therefore might be doing too little, which will put more pressure on more households for longer down the line. Now, the prospect of a spot Bitcoin exchange traded fund being approved soon in the US has increased demand for the major cryptocurrency, which has led to a surge in transaction fees. In fact, the Bitcoin blockchain reached $11.6 million in fees paid on November the 16th, according to statistics from Crypto Fees. At the time of writing, the data shows that the average transaction fee is $18.69, up 113% from the previous day and 746% from a year ago. According to Cointelegraph's market analysis, Bitcoin remains near 18-month highs and beyond its bear market trading range. At the time of writing, in fact, the cryptocurrency was trading at $36,422. That's a 0.25% gain over the past 24 hours. Bitcoin's price has been rising since Wall Street investment manager BlackRock filed for a spot ETF with the Securities and Exchange Commission in June. After BlackRock's application, several other major asset managers in the US submitted similar proposals, including Fidelity, ARK Invest, and WisdomTree. While the SEC appears to be engaging with firms on proposal adjustment, it has yet to make a decision, moving final deadlines to January 2024. On November the 16th, WisdomTree amended its Form S-1 with the regulator, followed by similar amendments from ARK and 21Shares, Van Eyck, Bitwise, and Valkyrie. According to Bloomberg senior ETF analyst Eric Bumhast, the amended versions may be a response to concerns the SEC has raised. It means ARK got the SEC's comments and has dealt with them all and now put the ball back into the SEC's court, he said. In my opinion, it's a good sign, solid progress. A spot Bitcoin ETF is an investment fund that mirrors the price of Bitcoin. The spot aspect means the fund directs the purchase of Bitcoin as the underlying asset. It also enables investors to participate in Bitcoin's market through their regular brokerage accounts. It's a way to get exposure to Bitcoin price fluctuations without the need to purchase it on a crypto exchange, for example. As a result, a spot Bitcoin ETF is expected to draw institutional investors' capital, which may potentially result in the price of Bitcoin reaching new highs in the coming months. And in fact, according to Bloomberg analysts, there's a 90% likelihood of approval of all proposals at the same batch in January next year. So we will see. But if you stand back, again, it's all about questions of volatility and questions of interest rate moves. People are now getting more convinced, maybe, that some central banks have got their rates high enough to quell inflation. I doubt that's the case in Australia, by the way, and I expect to see more rate rises coming. But the truth is that markets are probably overvalued and the volatility will continue into the end of the year and into next year. So those spruiking alternative shares, and specifically some of those non-favored shares, just be a little bit careful if you go and follow those, because remember, you can get close to 5% securely in cash returns at the moment. Hard to beat, I think, in the current environment. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.